Welcome to RevCast, a Civilization podcast focused on its console platforms. L. Thrasher.
Scotty X.
CV.
It's been a little while since we've recorded one of these. I don't know, you know, stuff happens, so it's good to be back. This is L. Thrasher. With me, as always, is Scotty X, and we are joined this month by It's Denied. It's, why don't you tell us about your claim to fame?
Well, I was playing ranked, and I thought it was awesome with my library strategy. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, you could just tech to industrialization with libraries and kick everybody's butt. But, you know, I went to the forum, and it didn't work out so well.
What's your favorite Civ?
As far as to have fun with, or like,
Favorite to play?
I don't know, Egypt or Japan, probably.
Okay.
Spain's fun once you, like, start doing the Galleon Fleet thing and figuring out the Legion Rush and everything, but it's pretty cut and dry once you start doing it. But Japan and Egypt, the games vary a lot whenever you're playing in ranked, especially.
What's your best Civ?
America.
Okay. What's your worst?
Probably Mongols. Okay. I know how to play them, but I mean, it's just really hard.
Any tournaments going on? Anything good happening?
We've got another World Championship sort of going. It's going slowly, but we've got Itz's through to the final round, and the first round, I suppose, Smallfork's winning that.
They'd still have to finish it. That was an interesting game. I never seen AI take somebody out at 2000 BC with the Great Wall. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it.
Yes, I know.
What happened?
We're playing a series of five games, seven. And so the first game, I was really psyched up for it, and I think I played quite a good game. But in the end, it was America versus America, I think, and he got Seven Cities of Gold. And what else did you get? Something
School
else.
School of Confucius, yeah.
School of Confucius.
Without Seven Cities of Gold, I was screwed that game, though.
And it was just too much for me to be able to win it. So there was that one. And then the second game, again, I thought I did reasonably well, but I mean, it was Aztec versus Spain. He was on me like really, really early. I mean, before I settled, he had a warrior next to my settler. So, well, basically next to it. So anyway, I managed to get to the point where, like, you know, maybe another couple of turns and I would have been okay. But again, he was on me a little too fast with his Fundy horse army, and again, it fell apart. I thought I'd done quite well there. And then, like, third game, and I was like, it had kind of got me a little depressed, should we say. And so I wasn't quite focusing. And little things like making peace with the AI when they have a unit right next to your city, kind of slip them up behind.
They got Knights Templar, like, really early in the game, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm at the bottom of the map, and he took out Russians, I think, and he got Great Wall. I'm like, crap, all the wonders are next to him. There's an island next to me that sometimes would have wonder, but there was, like, Ark of the Covenant, and I was English. I'm like, okay, well, that's not really going to help me too much. I'm like, okay, I'll get my 100 gold and everything. I'm like sitting there, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to win this game. I found a double die spot, but I'm like in the corner, and he's about to take out the Aztecs. I'm like, oh, this game's over. Nothing I could do. And then on the turn, all right, I end the turn. It says Aztecs are taking the Berlin capital. I'm like, what? It's like, that was probably the most unexpected win I've ever seen. I was baffled.
Was that your only city, or did you just give up?
I had another one, but no, I was in some trouble after that.
The Aztec, you could have just declared peace for him.
Yeah,
They could have just taken the capital and said, okay, I want peace, and you have to accept it.
Bit of bad luck in that, but if I hadn't taken that city, I probably still would have had that well in hand. But anyway, never mind. If that had been the first game up, I'd probably been out of focus, but yeah.
Yeah, those first two games, you couldn't do anything about it, man. I was just overpowered right there.
Yeah, that was quite good. So should we move on from my dismal failure? And
so you were reminiscing a little earlier, and I asked you to save it for the show. It's about a matchup that it must have been just a random game that
Which
we had.
One? Oh, the like months ago you came on. And he said, oh, I was looking for a game. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And you're in a party. I think Duke Lou was even in it. And they were all playing. And you said, oh, let's play. And I was like, yeah, let's go. Got Monarchy. And then right next to England was Skull Confucius. And I got Scientist. And I GS'd it like at 3200 or 3100. So I had Knights. Right. So I'm like, okay, the game's over. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, you got to do something with them. I'm like, ah, yeah, there's nothing. It's over. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm like throwing knights at you, and you, like, I don't know who you took out, and you're just like kicking my ass. I'm like, hey. I'm like, what is this? I should be overrunning. Where is all this gold coming from? I see roads coming everywhere. I'm just like, oh, man. That's when I said, all right, you know what? I'm just going to have some knight army because I know he's going to come for me. By that time, he got catapults. I'm like, okay, this is not going to work. He's got too many cities. I'm screwed. But I'm like, but I'm Japan. All I got to do is expand those islands and nothing. Then he's going to really be screwed. And I'm going to attack him like crazy. Yeah. So I just built some knight armies and kept in my cap. I built like three of them, I think. And he brought, jeez, I don't know, five legion armies and like two catapult armies, archer army, and like a few single archers. But I was able to defend it. And then I said, yeah, I'm going to get a tech victory. And he said, no, you're not. And then I think you ended up leaving or something. But, yeah, I started expanding and teching really hard, and I think I hit cruisers and then quit. And I said, I'm not even going to attack you. I'm just going to go tech victory.
It was a good effort. That's kind of my style. I mean, normally people getting knights eight turns into the game is pretty impossible scenario.
But that's the thing. You're the Mongols. I'm just like, what the heck? How is he doing this? Where is this gold coming from?
Well, you get the plus 50% gold in captured cities.
I think you only got one. I took out England, and then the Greeks you took out later after I took them out. You got the Greeks from me.
I think my early strategy was really strong in that game, and then it was kind of scattered after that.
I don't know. I probably built right around 10 knight armies. And, like, at the end, after you killed six of them, I'm like, okay, this is just, he's expanding. I'm like, okay, this is not going to work out.
I think you really had to change gears like you did there, because I think that I ended up doing all production on my city, so I couldn't really tech, because I just wanted to pump out as many legions as possible, you know, try to win that way. So then once you went the tech route, then you could get an advantage that way. And if I didn't get your capital, which obviously I didn't, then I couldn't win.
You didn't have an option of going around it and having a go at some islands or something?
I think the islands weren't very accessible. Plus, I hadn't done...
Yeah, not for you. Not
I hadn't
even...
I had a tech route. I just got in production. So what am I going to go, swim out there with galleys?
Well, I didn't even start expanding the islands till I got navigation.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what wins it for me at that point, because I just didn't have any tech cities. It was all production.
Yeah.
If the Legion push doesn't work, then it's kind of over.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Matchups. That's an interesting topic. What are some fun matchups?
So you've been saying on the head-to-head versus Germany that you thought England would have the advantage. Do you want to...
Yeah, because England can defend against German legions pretty easily because they know what's going to come. And then even if Germans go knights, I mean, all they got to do is just depends how early, you know, how early it is. And you kind of got to guesstimate how many armies they have and how many archer armies they'll need. But, I mean, the archers will cost just as much as the warriors cost them. And a vet fortified archer army can defend about the same as the German knight army. And the Germans would still have to tech, monarchy or feudalism or whatever it is. But, I mean, it obviously depends on your start.
Don't you think that means that you're not going to be able to expand very much? Because even if you expand with a city with one archer,
to lose that
one city and lose monarchy, massive setback for you against the Germans.
Oh, yeah, but you're not going to have to worry about that early. You don't have to worry about a legion rush, you know, in the first 10 or 20. All you got to do is get an archer up and you'll be, maybe two archers up, you'll be fine. You start expanding, get a couple dials or something. Fend off a legion rush or whatever they try to throw at you, and then basically just predict the city that you think they're going to attack, and just tech the cruisers, and then they're screwed. So it doesn't.
You know what else? England should try to get a few more weak techs.
Yeah.
So that Germany isn't guaranteed to get monarchy if Germany takes a city.
Or better yet, just don't lose a city.
Well, if you don't build any cities, then what Germany can do is get to medieval, get code of laws, and go crazy expanding with that extra production.
Yeah, they'll churn out settlers like really fast, and you'll be struggling to keep up.
Then you can just go for cruisers or something and crush you that way.
Well, you obviously have to expand. The key would be not to lose a city to Germany. You gotta see the map. You
kind of always the thing, though, isn't it? Don't lose any cities.
Especially the Germany.
Well, I mean, it takes a while. I mean, they usually get at least one, maybe two. I've never seen three upgraded elite warrior armies from barbs and stuff. So they have to build a barracks, build elite warriors, and then, you know, change to legions. I mean, you have plenty of time to defend and get archers in the areas you need to get them to, find choke points and everything like that. I think it's pretty easy to defend. I mean, but, you know, it depends on the map. And
one of the key things the English are going to have is the ability to control the sea, because if you can get a galley out there and you've gone over five ticks and they've gone over five ticks, let's say, there isn't really any sneaking around you, because if you can get a galley out there to go and block the ocean, you've got almost certain chance of beating them. So that's pretty high risk to have your galley sneaking along with five legion armies or something in it.
Yeah, I always expect that. And then, so if you limit them to one or maybe two cities that they have access to, pretty easy to defend, you know, just get a couple vet archers over there, you know, army them up, and then what are they going to do, try to legion attack you? I mean,
I think, you know, something on a hill out the front, see them coming. As long as you see them coming, then you can get them out on the sea, or if you see them coming up to your choke point, well, you know, you'll have all your archer armies and counters and things, so.
If I'm Germany in this situation, I'm thinking of one of two strategies. One would be snipe a city, get monarchy, use my great scientist, get feudalism, drop 10 knight armies on you. If I park 10 knight armies outside of London, I'm really likely to get in, right? And if I get London, then you're kind of done. That's one way. So if you cover that up, you're right, that if you're careful, if the map's favorable to you, if you can get to the seas, maybe get some islands or something like that, dye is plentiful around islands, then you can do a pretty good job of preventing that, assuming I don't start right next to you, which is really got to be the assumption here, because if we start right next to each other, it's kind of whoever gets to 25 gold is probably going to win. So that's...
I see what you're saying.
Ignore that.
Can't quite put the pressure on Germany like Germany can put the pressure on England.
That's right. I'm saying my other thought here is that I'm going to maybe move some units around. You try to make you nervous, maybe try to sit on your die or bother you in some way. But mostly I'm going to want to expand. And I'm going to build my elite warriors, and I'm going to be ready to fend off any knights you send my way. But mostly I'm going to try to expand it. And if you're covering up that well, then chances are I can out-expand you.
The thing about that is that I wouldn't be worried about England needing to put the pressure on Germany. I think Germany needs to put the pressure on England, because there's a point of no return once England has 24 attack.
Oh, yeah.
And it's no secret what both civs are going to go for. It's just who's more unstoppable. And with the English extra archer bonus, I mean, they can produce just as many archers as you can warriors in the beginning of the game. And the time it takes, say, like 10 legion armies or knight armies, how long will it take you to produce that? How much can I expand to? I mean, how many die cities do you think I need to expect to democracy in it?
Talking about that rate, I had a game against Forum, if I remember correctly, and he had some islands, England cities, and he had some die, and he was ticking up, and I had Germans, and I had a bit of space, kind of like what our Thresh is talking about here. And I expanded out, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just try expanding out and then building up my knights and as many warriors as I can, and then turn them into knights and come down and attack them. And basically, I hit knights before he hit anything that he could really kill me with. And then obviously, however many there was a lot of them, maybe 10 armies or something, was too much for him to handle. Archer armies or whatever, it didn't matter. I'm not sure if in general you're going to be able to beat them in that race, in between a German who's just able to play around on the continent versus England who's trying to tick up to cruisers or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you're willing to go nav somewhere in there, maybe galleon fleet with nav, and you can blow away the back of the German Empire, or, you know, pester them or something. But if you're just going to try and tick it, I think maybe most of the time you're not quite going to make it.
I mean, we could do a series and find out. And how many times against Germany? How many times do you actually make like 10 knight armies or whatever you make? I mean, most of the time I see they try to, you know, go legion like three or four, maybe five legion knight armies, and they just try to get in there real quick. Two vet archer armies and maybe a couple of single archers would defend that pretty easily, I would think.
Yeah.
And that's half of what you have to build.
Well, I think with my play anyway, sometimes that early attack with three knight armies is actually impatient. If you look at the other guy and you know that it's going to take him X number of turns to get his power up, if you can bring maybe that extra knight army, that might be the thing that throws them off balance.
Yeah, it could. But you kind of can predict, and then you got scouts, and, you know, you kind of see where they're coming from, you know.
Yeah.
So you have extra time, and then you rush archers. And I mean, the English can tech up really fast with the die and getting all the tech bonuses, you know, literacy, irrigation, and all that stuff. Mm. And rush the library in a double die city. I mean, that's 20 beakers in one city a turn, you know.
Here's the thing. it comes down to decision making and guesswork and, you know, sometimes educated guessing. Mm. So if I'm Germany and you're England and you start making archers and you're just going to build a bunch of archers so that you're totally safe and you're hoping that I'm going to blow my early rush and just crash into your archers and everyone dies and then you can do whatever you want with the game. But I don't do that. Instead, I start building settlers from Go and I don't even really build much in the way of defenses, but you're so busy building your defenses you don't even notice that, then I'm probably going to win at that point.
Yeah.
But
oh, exactly. Yeah.
But let's say you start building archers and then you kind of see what I'm doing. Maybe you go legions or something like that and you surprise me by dropping 3 legion armies off a galley and basically I have more settlers than any other unit. Now I've totally lost, you know? That's what it comes down to a lot of the time.
That's the wrong move to just start building. I mean, one archer, non-vet, in my capital has 7.5 defense. I'm not going to start building armies until I know I see a suspicious galley on the horizon or I see you moving your little warriors around. Then I'll be like, okay, maybe I'll start making an army. I'll have the archers in my city, but I'm not going to rush. I'm going to save money for expansion and stuff too.
I mean, that could cost you.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm going to have scouts and units out to see, at least give me a couple turns notice before you come and drop your stuff off on me.
Yes.
If you just go straight for the archer army, yeah, you're going to lose. I mean, Germany can just do whatever. They could just out-expand you and then bring 29 armies. I mean, they could do whatever they want. Can't just turtle up. That's not what I'm saying. Got to have scouts and know, like I said, you got to kind of predict where they're going to attack and most likely where they're going to attack.
The interesting thing here is that we used to put England in the tier with Egypt and Greece and Japan. I mean, the strongest in that tier, but still in that tier. And now we're saying that if England can potentially beat the best 7 the tier above that, so there's been a bit of a rise in our impression of England, a rise in our impression of Spain, a rise in our impression of maybe of the Zulus as well.
We've always considered Spain to be the fourth or possibly even third best civ, I think. But what I was saying before is basically not that, yeah, you're going to totally turtle, but you're turtling a little bit if you're building archers. If Germany never comes for you at all, then that's just wasted hammers. I mean, if you don't fight until something above archers that makes archers basically obsolete, then you've wasted your time. And 2 archers is the same as 1 settler, so, you know, that's...
Yeah.
Back in the old days, when a lot of games would go to modern, or, you know, that wasn't quite so rare, England was considered to be one of the best, because people would actually, like, battleships in games, and if you're in battleships with England, then you're really likely to win at that point.
Yeah. Back some time ago, when I was playing with England, I thought there was potentially a lot of power in England with, if you get the tech and the huts and things, you know, and you've got some dye and stuff, you can really plow through those techs to get way, way up the tech tree, and particularly feudalism really fast and religion. So you start off in the game, get a couple of good, get feudalism and religion from huts, and all of a sudden you've got practically unstoppable knights rolling around the place.
Yeah.
Unless Thresh is defending.
Yeah, exactly. That's ridiculous, man. 3,200. I have knights. I'm like, okay. I don't even need a barracks. All I need is a non-vet knight army. I'll get it in a couple turns.
Yep.
I'll just rush in there, mop up these stupid Mongols.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're up against the Mongols. It's not like you're up against the. I love playing the Mongols. France versus Mongols. Mongol start is better than almost any other start. I'm including all the middle tier, too. Your good Mongol start is maybe not as good as a good America start, but it can be really, really strong. Like I've played the Mongols and walk in on Thebes with Colossus.
Yeah, I didn't realize how powerful that was. It's crazy.
You can do a lot with that.
Yeah, Morty kicked my butt in the Asian Cup that happened, and he's the Mongols, and I was Japan, and I just tried to... I got Angry Watt, and I just tried to do a couple Fundy horse army, or 3 Fundy horse armies, I think. And I'm seeing him, he got 100 gold, and, I mean, he got a walk-in on the Egyptians, like, early, though.
Yep.
I'm like, well, how the heck is he doing this? I didn't realize, I just totally had a brain fart, but I totally forgot about the plus 50% plus Colossus. I mean, that's like, what, 16 gold or something like that? Just 2 tiles, or what is that?
12
I
gold
mean,
with 2 tiles, yeah. 12 gold
yeah,
for 10.
Yeah, 12, yeah.
Quite good.
But yeah, that early, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Get to your 100 quickly, and then you can tech whatever you want amazingly fast.
Do you walk really hard to go and find that walk-in, or do you just settle when you see...
The Mongols?
Yeah.
Kind of depends on my opponent, really. You get a point where you're not going to get a walk-in anyway. Kind of the same, really.
I think the Mongols need a friendly to have a chance to be on, or a naming tile at least. They can't have a slow start. Mongols need a capital at least to have a chance in the game, I think.
Well, depends. Sometimes you can get enough barbs quickly enough. and then maybe pick up a caravan or something like that, and you can get a horse army together really quickly. Take an AI about 3,000.
Caravans are pretty rare, though, aren't they, I would say, from a friendly.
No, it depends on your location relative to the AI and the...
Scotty's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
I don't have it all figured out. I just take it because it's going to give me something, right?
Yeah. In practice, you're standing outside a friendly. You're going to sit there for ages. Just, I've tried that a few times, and so often another warrior pops up and takes that. And you're just, oh, bloody hell.
Just 27 more turns, I'll be able to get industrialization out of this one.
Yeah, yeah, something along those lines. I mean, with the goals, maybe you would be worth waiting a bit just because the caravan's so huge. But, yeah. A few of these games, I managed to squeeze out my 100 gold Mongols. And if you can get to 100 gold, it's pretty good.
Sometimes you can get 100 gold fairly quick, and it becomes really strong, and you can put together two quick horse armies and take out two AI and press your enemy, and yeah, you're just playing it. I mean,
I really shouldn't have said that the Mongols can't really compete. It does depend on the game. I had a really good game against Morty in the Asian Cup. I didn't expect to have a good game, but my Mongols against his China, I'm like, oh, well, you know, you don't expect anything to come out of that. But I think I got a friendly and a naming tile or something, but I still had a tech. I know I got a Barb City, I think, but I still had a horseback riding that hammer it out. But I got lucky warrior army attack, and then I just expected the wounded, you know, to get my horse army to get through, you know. There was two AIs on two different islands, and the only AI that we had access to was right next to Morty, so he got that AI. So I didn't have any AI, but, I mean, somehow we put together a hell of a game.
There's a strategy in there which I've been trying to use lately with my French. You're bolting or you're trying to get navigation and legions. You play some relatively normal stuff to start off with, but if it gets out of the opening session, you're going for navigation and legions, and you're trying to get maths, you're going to try and get a GS, and you're going to GS navigation, go off, and then attack the other guy with legions around the back of his empire. Seems to work reasonably well.
So you're trying to be a poor man Spain.
Poor man Spain, yeah. But I mean, the bottom line is you don't have a rich man Spain. France to wait a long time for navigation. They don't have the extra galleon attack advantage. But you get up there and you're next to Russia or something, you can still put some pretty bad pressure on them with galleon fleet up. So it's either that, or if you try and get a great leader out of, which is basically not really ticking much at all at the beginning, and then settle that, and then go and hit people.
What do? You get iron working?
No. Basically, you need to get a tech pretty much nothing, as little as possible.
So you just defend with your pottery?
It's going to be difficult, but in some games, it's doable if you've got a bit of space.
Oh, crap, there's somebody that's on my capital. Build a granary quick!
Yep.
Like, I played a recent one where I was sitting on their beaker banking on bronze, but potentially I was gonna buy bronze and then chuck that into ironworking and then do that sort of methodology. But I'd taken the English for monarchy, I think. So my, he was coming up real fast. So I just held on and then got the GL and barracks and things and then, you know, it was away. It's not 100% either, but I was okay with like a GA or something as well, too.
I mean, against normal civs, if I'm France, I usually try to get legions out real quick. Like, if I can't get a horse rush in, which usually that would be ideal in head-to-head, go straight to legions, because, I mean, any other civ, pretty much, except for, you know, maybe Russia and Mongols, any other civ has a pretty decent advantage over you, so the sooner you can get on top of them, the better, you know, chance you'll have.
The other thing is, if you can force your way in to, maybe you're not crushing, but you took a city and you have your foot in the door and stuff like that, probably going to get to medieval soon because you probably picked up a tech and you started with pottery and you must have tech at least two techs yourself in order to have legions. Mm. So you're going to be in medieval soon and you get the cheap roads, which actually can be helpful.
Yeah, legions and cheap roads has been quite good for me. But also, if you can just dump a bunch of units in a city, like in the middle of their empire, because maybe they're not defending there and you've gone along and you've galley dropped it or something, if you can hold one of those cities, all of a sudden they have to defend everything because they all take that city back.
I mean, all you got to do is take one city. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And they're just so concerned about dealing with that you've got free run everywhere else. You just hatch your army up or something.
Yeah, you could just start teching. I mean, what with that city, do 10 beakers a turn or whatever you can do. Tech, you know, masonry, irrigation, and then, you know, just start expanding and everything. Well, I mean, you don't even have to attack them. They'll arch their army up more than likely. You just have your units sitting outside the city. Look like you're going to attack them. I mean, in the meanwhile, you're just expanding everywhere else. That's the key when you're playing those lower Tier Civs. You just got to get the pressure on really quick if you can.
Also, if you're going to get a GA, you want to know at least where one of their cities are so that you can take advantage of it. You got to be on them.
Yeah.
Mongols, if you're not near an AI, and you, I guess anybody's kind of disadvantaged by not having barbs, but in particular the Mongols are. Like a Mongol with an island start is ridiculous. I've had that a few times. It's crazy bad how bad it is. Especially if you walked. You walk to the other side of the island and you see, oh, well, there's one tree here, so now all I can do is go back to where I started and settle there with the two trees.
Yeah, that's always
fun. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
A two-tree island, yeah, that's always fun.
Even settle next to a barb you found on the other side with one tree, hammer out a warrior in order to kill it, and, yeah.
Or better yet, walk to the other side of the island and find the Zulu. Sitting there, and you're like, oh, they're right next to the one barb on the island. Oh, we get to share this barb? Oh, thanks.
If you have a really terrible start, you often get an explorer. It's only going to let you get into the game if your opponent's not the strongest, really.
Yeah.
I mean, honest. If you have a bad start with France, and your opponent's really good and is having a good game, I mean, you're not going to win.
You shouldn't win.
If your opponent is maybe not as experienced and is also having a weak game, which sometimes happens, sometimes both players have difficult starts, then if you get the Explorer when you're at like 46 gold or something and you can finally get your 100 gold, that can be good.
I mean, the real simple layout of that is the Explorer is generally because you've got bronze working, so you can see you've built bronze working, you're feeling on the defensive, you've got a not very great start, and so you get a GE. GH is probably because you've got horseback riding up. GA is probably because you've got alphabet or rice, and GB is probably because you've got masonry. You might get GS from that as well.
Overall, I think France will win about 60% against Mong, maybe 70. Between 60 and 70, I'd say, because they get gold and the Mongols don't. That's what it comes down to. I mean, I know the Mongols can get started quick too. They need a friendly or something to be able to do that. Where, I mean, the French, they could just settle next to one pot barb or, and, you know, take it out, settle 3,900, two trees, and then hammer it out and everything. But
you have a few more options with the French, yes. That can make a big difference, but it's going to make more of a difference if you start close than if you don't start close. I mean, if Mongols walks three turns and settles next to a barb and takes the barb and then moves that warrior two tiles away, and France could have a warrior army or something on the way or something, that makes it hard for the Mongols. It's interesting to me that this game is still being developed in just a tiny way, at any rate. Is the news that the iPhone and iPad version of the game now support multiplayer, which I think is kind of cool. I don't have an iPhone or an iPad, but if I did, I would check it out and see if I can get the same kind of thing going, you know, if I'm on the move or something like that. Instead, I have an Android, and there's no CivRev for Android. But there is now CivRev for Windows Phone, which kind of blows my mind that they decided to do that before Android. Maybe we'll get it for Android. Maybe we'll get, I don't know, CivRev 2.
Yeah, I was surprised. And then whenever the dude said that they added new units, I'm like, oh, they probably just added new names to units. Well, they're the same. They have the same. There's no different, like Mustang Fires. Then the different attack force or anything. But no, they said they have different attack values and defense values. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. I'm like, well, maybe there is hope in the next console, CivRev 2, in the next generation.
I don't know if this is really on the radar, but I think that's a really good way to deliver Civ.
I mean, Sid Meier said he really liked making this game. He says the game he always wanted to make, so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so make another one already.
Yeah. But, I mean, you got to make money off of it, so, I mean, it doesn't matter how much you enjoy it. If you're not making money, you got to do something else, I guess. For us, obviously. We got our money's worth out of it, but
I don't know
the general stuff. I haven't really looked into it, but.
What do you think that you've probably paid an hour to play Civ Rev?
How much have I paid per hour?
Yeah. Oh, if you divide how much you paid for the disc versus...
Probably like a hundredth of a cent, maybe?
The fact that I have several discs slightly pushes mine up to maybe a cent.
Scotty, you would have to have a lot of discs for that to be true.
I paid $20 for it, so
yeah.
I bought it when it was like 2 years old already or something.
All right, this has been RevCast with El Thrasher, Scotty X, and It's Denied. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
For more information about RevCast, sibling shows Polycast and Modcast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
Record date:
March 10th, 2013.
Civilization Revolution sound clips. Copyright Take Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.